Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I'm your host, JJ Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty Podcast. The Rod Pod is in our new home with Gridiron Ratings. Remember, your path to the title starts with Gridiron Ratings. Tonight, we complete rounds 3 and 4 of our rookie mock draft. And to do so, we are welcoming back a hotly crew of miscreants. Yikes, look at this. Let's just start. Don Detweiler, as always, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great, man. It's always good to be back.
Good to have you. Also with us is the content director of Gridiron Ratings, the host of the Dynasty Dorks podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Dynasty Dorks. Dave, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, doing well. I was going to say a bunch of radio faces, right?
Hey,
you called us, three cons or whatever.
Also coming to us from the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. You can find him at Fantasy Farron on Twitter. Matthew Walters. What's up, Matt?
Nothing much. Excited to be here.
Excited to have you. Also with us, writer and renowned Russ Wilson Stan. You can find him on Twitter at Ronnie A. Evans. It's Ronnie.
What's up? Go Hawks.
Yikes.
Wait, I mean, let's ride Broncos country.
Bandwagon extraordinaire Ronnie A. Evans.
He hopped on but took off.
Last but not least, the founder of Gridiron Ratings, my friend. You can find him on Twitter at NFL_DiMatteo. Jeff DiMatteo, how are you doing, my friend?
Man, I am doing absolutely fantastic. Thrilled to be here. I'm excited to get into some deep dives here on these round 3 and 4 players because we've got some real gems hidden here, I think.
We have some things hidden here. I don't know if they're all gems, but we're definitely going to dig them. But before we dive into the draft, do me a favor, like and subscribe below. Give us a follow on Twitter at Gridiron Rating. And also check out our website, gridironratings.com, for all of our latest content. I'm going to let Jeff talk about what is coming out shortly. Jeff?
Oh, you want me to go now?
Go ahead.
Okay. So new rookie draft guide. I'm actually using it tonight in our mock. Let me get it on camera. There's a little draft board piece. It's in the draft guide. So we're covering offense and IDP. $15 book, 145 pages of written analysis covering just gobs of players. We'll take you from rounds 1 through potentially 7, depending on the length of your draft.
And probably absolutely even a little bit further. Level. Oh, sorry, Jeff, and, you froze up, you know, for a
something
second.
What he's trying to say is the draft guide's awesome, and you should.
It is amazing. I have to say, I finished editing my portion of it, and there is so much information in there that you can't shake a stick at it. Or I think that's how that.
I feel like
goes.
I dropped out.
You did drop out, Jeff. That's okay. We kept going and we kept perfect talking. So,
my man.
Let's check on the news. Now, generally, when I have a large crowd like this, we avoid news topics for fear of bogging down the show. However, we would be remiss if we didn't discuss the latest news of the day. Debo Samuel has told the Niners that he would like to be traded. However, Josina Anderson and Connor Hughes are reporting that San Francisco has no intention of trading him. So I have two questions for the panel. First, does Debo get dealt by the draft? Jeff. Nope. Ooh. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say the 49ers are too caught up right now in trying to figure out what to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. Debo's going on the back burner until July.
Really? Really? Dave, do you agree with that?
It's going to be interesting. And I will say that I would have not thought Tyreek Hill would have been traded and not thought Devontae Adams were traded. Move the Sticks was just talking about it. And when it comes down to it, the rookie receivers are so good so early that you look at a trade like Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs. Yes, you hit gold with Justin Jefferson. But even like look at Jalen Waddle and Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb and these guys, they're making peanuts compared to these $25, $30 million salaries. So if Debo, who's had injuries and, you know, you want to move on from him, but you can get a bounty for him right now. He's trying to cash in on his big season. The Niners could turn around and do the exact same thing. But the Jets offered for Tyreek Hill would be a very enticing. It was actually more as far as the trade chart value. It was more than what Kansas City had gotten from Miami. Mm-hmm. But Tyreek Hill chose the Dolphins. They accepted both offers, but it was like 1,225 points, almost equivalent to pick 10. Or it would be the offer that they sent to the Chiefs that would go to the Niners.
Now, Matt, any concerns about Debo and his injury history?
So, actually, yeah, because he dealt with a lot of hamstring injuries last year. And actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this part, but I'm going to. I know he dealt with a lot of them in college, too. I might have somewhat of insider information on that. I won't name names, though. It's not even really a source. It's just, I know people, I guess, but, he's dealt with these hamstring issues for a long time, and hamstrings are definitely something that are fickle to deal with and can pop up out of nowhere. So I'm not surprised that he had a relatively healthy year and he's looking to get paid. And I'm not surprised that San Francisco's kind of wanting to wait a year and say, nah, prove to us you can be healthy 2 years in a row before we pay you. So that's kind of how I see it.
Ronnie, do you think he's worth a mega deal?
I don't think any of these wide receivers are worth a mega deal with the type of money that they're getting right now. I think that if you look at, everyone likes to fall back on the Christian Kirk thing, but with the salary cap exploding, this was coming with a number of different skill positions. And at this point, I would say he's worth being paid as a top 10 wide receiver because he has the ability to produce like that. But this idea that he wants to be the highest paid skill position player in the NFL, I don't think so. And I think that there's a lot that you have to step back and look at when it comes to Kyle Shanahan and his ability to churn out random people in his offense that end up doing great things. Not that people like Elijah Mitchell aren't talented, but Debo, while he is talented, he's not going to go do what he did last year in another offense. And so I don't know. I don't think he's worth a deal like that. I also don't think he's going to get traded before the draft. And I agree with Jeff. I think the one thing I would say on that front, if he does get traded before, Jeff said July, or maybe May, in that time, it's going to be on draft day. If they can't get a deal done that looks sweet on draft day for Debo, it's going to be a little while.
Fair enough, gentlemen. Well, let's jump to the main topic. Now, tonight's draft order was determined, as always, by 100-yard rush. I use it at school all the time. I entered our five guests into the machine and let the avatars race for first. Our order will be Dave Heilman, followed by Matthew, then Jeff, Don, and then Ronnie. Now, gentlemen, you will pick in that order and repeat that order until we have completed the final two rounds of drafting. As a reminder, we are picking the best players available, not based on any team needs because y'all don't have any teams. And this is a 12-team, 1QB PPR league. No tight end premium. No tight end premium, Don. No tight end premium. So let's kick this off. I'll pull up the draft board. You can see that we had Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, and Kenneth Walker going in the top three, followed by Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Drake London, Jahan Dotson. Malik Willis was the first QB at 8, followed by Olave, Spiller, Pickens, and Sky Moore. Second round, John Mechie, Christian Watson, and David Bell led us off, followed by the only tight end, Trey McBride, with Brian Robinson Jr., James Cook, Rashad White, Wandale Robinson, and Kenny Pickett, ending up with Justin Ross, Damian Pierce, and Pierre Strong Jr. Dave, where are we kicking off with the top of the second round?
Yeah, this is this definitely puts your it puts your rankings to the test when you have to go and make the pick. So you look at it and you go, oh, well, I can just go to my best available and do this. And then you look at everyone else and go, man, I really don't want Jeff to get this guy. I'm really not going to like that. But, I'm going to go with Zamir White out of Georgia.
All right. Zamir White out of Georgia is the pick. Jeff, what do you think of that pick?
You know, I think at this point in the draft, the running backs are getting pretty thin. And you look at a guy like Zamir White, played at the premium program, had a lot of market share, so to speak. He profiles as a guy that's going to play on an NFL roster. To me, feels like a timeshare guy, though. Landing spot's going to be a major factor.
All right. Next up, Matthew. Who are you going with?
All right, so this is interesting. I'm kind of torn between a few different players here, but I think at the end of the day, I'm going to go Jerome Ford, running back out of Cincinnati, former Alabama running back. So, you know, he's got a high pedigree, even coming out of high school, kind of transferred away to get that playing time. Really took off for Cincinnati and was a big reason they were in the college football playoffs this year. So I'm taking him. He's fairly, I mean, he ran a 4.46. He's fairly athletic. He can catch the ball some. So I don't think he's going to jump right in to be a starter somewhere, but maybe some injuries happen. He gets a spot start here or there, maybe shows a little something, and then maybe becomes a starter.
Don, now we have seen at the end of the second, beginning of the third, four straight running backs going. Do you think this is where, like, you're really going to see the running back class start to pick up in these later rounds?
Yeah, I really think this is where the value in the class is. Outside of the top two guys, there's a steep drop off and decline. And now you're kind of getting into, I don't want to say dart throws because it's not quite at that territory yet, but you're getting the guys that definitely have a niche skill set. And what you're trying to do is capitalize on a particular skill set that you can bank on. For Jerome Ford, it's solid goal line work and really good yards after contact.
All right. Thank you, Don. Next up with the third pick of the third round, Jeff.
Well, if you were with us for the first two rounds, I was pretty wide receiver heavy, and we're just going to keep that going. Give me Khalil Shakir out of Boise State. You know, this is another one of those guys that he's quick, he's fast, he can run some routes, he's versatile, you can line him up all over the field. He did that at Boise State. He was inside, he was outside, handled some return detail as well. Good enough field vision that if you can get the ball in his hands, he can make some good things happen. So I'll take a flyer on him here in the third.
Ronnie, where are you on Khalil Shakir?
I think it's a fine pick. At this point, all of these players are in these massive tiers, especially as they mentioned earlier with running backs. But at wide receiver, I've got a couple guys right in the same range as him, like Alec Pierce and Jalen Tolbert. And I think that Khalil Shakir could end up being pretty solid on Sundays, but I would expect him to be a guy that's going to take a year or two to develop, and that would be typical at this point in a dynasty draft.
Location. Yeah, he's definitely going on my taxi squad.
Yeah.
Location, location, location. Don, who are you going with next?
Staying in the wide receiver column, and we're going Alec Pierce here out of Cincinnati. Like a guy with some height. I like a guy with a little bit of speed. He ran in the 4.42s, I believe, and last we saw him against Alabama was right there ready to catch that slant pass that Desmond Ridder sailed on him. If he catches that ball, takes it to the house, it's an entirely different, at least start to that game and a different feel for things. He was a solid starter, has a 17-yard career catch average. I think he's a player, and I think he can be really productive for you.
Now, Dave, where do we see him going in the draft? Like the actual draft?
Yeah, so Move the Sticks has really been talking about him as being moving from being a day three, not a day three guy, to where he could be an early day two guy. You know, being a second round pick, he showed off his athleticism at the combine, and it really kind of made people go back and look at things. He was faster than people expected him to be. And you know, he had a very productive year in Cincinnati. He was a big part of that offense. It wasn't just Desmond Ridder and it wasn't just Jerome Ford. I mean, those three guys all played really well. There's also some defensive guys you're going to see drafted, like Beavers, and it's going to be a round two or three. I would probably say three, but they're saying potentially round two.
Well, if he goes in the top three rounds, he's definitely going before the third round of a fantasy draft, right?
Is he? Drew Outwell went round two last year, so it may not be everything.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Ronnie, you are up next with the fifth pick of the third round.
All right. Well, this is perfect because the number one guy I had on my board that was left available is still here, and that was Jalen Tolbert. I think that he reminds me, I don't want to, it's not the best player comparison, but he's got a little bit of Marvin Jones in him. He's got pretty actually solid route running for a guy coming out of such a small school at South Alabama. And I'll let other people take it away, but I love him. I actually had him ahead of a couple of the guys that went in the last round.
Out of South Alabama came a country boy. He said he's looking for a man named Jim. Matthew, what are you thinking about Jalen Tolbert?
Yeah, I think Jalen Tolbert showed some stuff in college. I know he's a small school guy, but this is pretty much where the small school guys are going to get taken unless they're Sky Moore. But yeah, he has potential to do something in the NFL, and that's basically what you're looking for at this point in the draft is potential. The odds are they're not going to hit, and I'm not going to bet on Jalen Tolbert hitting, but there is a small chance that it could, and if it does, then you're golden.
Now, I'll ask that question in a little bit. Dave, you're up next.
Yeah, and just throw one more thing on Tolbert. He's a dual sport guy, some great basketball highlights.
Triple sport guy.
There you go. But the basketball highlights and everything reminded me of, you know, when they showed the Cincinnati Bengals receivers basketball mixtape. So I'm going to go with Kyren Williams. Kyren Williams is someone that was really, really high on everyone's board, and he's really slipped down the boards. And at this point, I'm going to grab him. I did some research and looked at, you know, top 24 finishes for fantasy football over the last five seasons. And you would be very surprised of how many guys that ran 4.6 or higher, 4.55 or higher. Yeah, the Austin Eckler comparisons are out the window with his 40 time. But in the third round, I'm going to pick up this guy. He's the best pass protector in this class. He's a good runner. He's got a great receiving skill set. I'll take him right here at 3.6.
Love that pick. Jeff, one of the things that always surprises me is when you have a guy who's such a high Devy prospect going into his final college year, and then all of a sudden he disappears off the radar. Is Kyren Williams a reclamation project at this point, or does he have a pretty clear path to some playing time?
You know, my fear for him is he's going to end up in a place like Houston or New England that wants to employ like seven running backs. And though there's some flashes there and he looks like a player that should be on the field on Sundays, he shows you the occasional popped run, and it might not be an 80-yard home run, but it might be a 12-yard first down. It might be that 6 yards to make it second and short. You know, those plays really stack up, and he can give you a lot of that, but I don't know that he's going to land in a spot where a team's going to say, hey, we're going to feed this guy the rock and develop him as one of our primary weapons. And though he can pass protect and he can do all the intangible things, my concern is they're not going to think enough of what he does with the ball in his hands to make him that priority.
Yeah. Tommy Kislingberry pulled some stats about running backs and how often they're asked to pass protect. And it is a lot less often than we all assume it to be at this point. More often than not, they're just sending out their tight ends and their running backs into quick patterns to beat the pass rush rather than asking them to hold up against these edge rushers. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Kyren Williams coming into the league. Matthew, you are up, my friend.
All righty. So we are almost to the point in the draft where I basically change my approach from probably what most people do, but we're not quite there. I'm going to take Tyler Algier out of BYU. Big boy, really showed some things at BYU. I mean, he rushed for over 1,600 yards this past year. I believe, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was a linebacker first. And so we've seen kind of some good results with lately with linebackers turned running backs, isn't that Javonte Williams as well? He did that. And so I like taking a shot on him here. I think he can find a role. I don't know if he'll ever be a lead back in the NFL, but he could definitely be a goal line back for a team. And hey, guess what? Touchdowns are worth 6 fantasy points every week. So
I would definitely be interested in getting a little bit more beef on the Jets running back squad. Don, what do you think about Tyler Algier joining my beloved Jets?
I was really impressed with the national televised games we got out of BYU this year. I think he's going to fit kind of what you do, and he'll be a nice complement to the backs already on the roster. So it's one of those things where he kind of fits in very well with what you have and should be an effective complement. It's not a bad get. You'll be able to get him in the third-ish, fourth-ish round of the actual draft. So the value's in that neighborhood.
Jeff, who is a good comp for Tyler Algier?
Boy, you're talking to a guy that's usually sleeping BYU's on the field, man. Those West Coast games are too much for me. I'll actually refer to what we've got going on in the Gridiron Ratings rookie draft board, and I'll let you know here. We've got James Conner. So, you know, big bodied, thumping guy. He's gonna be great by the goal. He's gonna be great in short yardage. He's gonna give you a lot. All the indications out of BYU and everything you hear about him, the couple of the NFL Network interviews and all that, seems like a really high character guy too. And you know what? At this point in the draft where he's going to go, you're probably talking, third day, mid-late pick. You know, you're talking maybe fifth round, sixth round. Like, he starts getting later in drafts. Those are the kinds of guys that get picked. You know what? I'll take him, especially if he's on a weakened depth chart. You know, if he ends up in a place where they only have a couple of dudes and he's an injury away from massive playing time, I think it's a nice spot to take him here.
All you want is a chip in a chair, like they say in poker, right? Just a guy running back. Ready to step up if somebody gets hurt. Jeff, you're up next.
All right. Well, I hope you guys got glasses of milk ready because it's about to get spicy in here. We're going to get after something here. I'm going to go quarterback out of UNC. Give me Sam Howell. Here's where I'm at. This is a guy that if he comes out last year instead of this year, he's potentially a first round pick. Okay. Everybody loved him. He was in the Heisman conversation. He looked absolutely incredible as a passer. They lost all of their weapons after the 2020 season. Two major receivers gone, both running backs gone, a couple linemen, like the whole offense was stripped out. They had to completely change. Then the guy showed, I don't have to be a passer. I can be a runner. So we all know how valuable running quarterbacks can be in fantasy. Sam Howell showed us that he can do both. And I'm just visualizing him in a Seahawks uniform, where he's trying to replicate a lot of what Russell Wilson had done, running around, throwing it around. He's accurate enough where he can get it to guys like DK and Lockett and let them do what they're going to do. And I think he's skilled enough to go beat Drew Lock man-to-man in a quarterback competition in July and August.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, going spicy. Hot.
You know what?
Scorching.
One of my biggest weaknesses as a fantasy player is whenever I draft a Debbie guy into my squad, I have a unnatural attachment to them for the rest of their playing career. Sam Howell's been sitting on one of my rosters for a little while. So I'm all for this pick. I'm all for it. But Ronnie, what are you thinking about him going to your beloved Seahawks?
I think that they'll miss Russell Wilson.
Pete Carroll doesn't miss anybody.
You can't remember they traded him. He's fine. I don't have a ton of I've only watched like two quarters of his play in his entire career so far. So I might not be the best person to give feedback on Sam, but I from what I've read and kind of the notes I've looked over, he'll probably be a starter in the NFL. I just don't know if he's going to do much for your dynasty or your fantasy teams.
Very good. Up next, Don.
Well, I just got sniped in a big way because I was going to do the same thing. I love Sam Howell. Was big on him 2 years ago in his big Devy year. And they go and put two guys in the very high draft and two guys right behind that from skill positions. So we'll have to pivot away from that as so often happens. We're going to go back to wide receivers here. And I'm going small but fast. When you want speed, you go to Memphis. So we're going Calvin Austin III. Here comes an absolute burner. Yeah, he's not real big. 5'7", 5'8", depending on who's doing the measuring. But he can return kicks. He gets in the open space. He's exceptionally elusive. Guy is just an absolute weapon.
Now, I'm not going to lie, Dave. One of my biggest issues with Calvin Austin is the fact that he's a third, which always messes up my spreadsheets because I have to account for the third. anybody who works in Google Sheets understands the pain of the juniors and seniors? Is there a period? All that stuff. But how do you feel football-wise about Calvin Austin?
Yeah, I mean, Memphis has been turning out some players. So when it comes down to it, you look at a guy that has this kind of speed, this kind of athleticism, and offensive coordinators that are just looking for playmakers, looking for someone to add some juice to an offense. They're looking for these kind of guys. And, you know, they were going through it today on, you know, on PFF, and they were just talking about the NFL has a love for speed. John Ross had no business being drafted 9 overall. Henry Ruggs did no business getting drafted over the guys he got drafted over. Andy Isabella had no business being drafted in the second round. Tutu Atwell, all these guys. So whether Calvin Austin is going to be really good at football, I don't know. Maybe he's ends up being a special team return guy to start off his career, and maybe he blossoms into something else. But he's going to get draft capital with that speed that other guys aren't going to get.
Speed kills my dynasty rosters because I fall for speed as well. Ronnie, where are you going next?
I'm torn between two people, so I'm going to go with the one with the letter earliest in the alphabet, and that's Damian Pierce. I'll tell you who the other guy was later. And I know that we've actually got him like way down on the best available board here. I think he's the last or close to last running back. He's down there near the
bottom. He may not be available.
I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, Damian Pierce went in the second round.
Yeah, we took
probably
him.
Probably why he – yeah. Sorry,
yeah, he went at the end of the second round.
See, wow. You played a trick on me there. I was looking at him, and I was like,
Ronnie, I was testing here? You to make sure you listen to the first pod. That is my fault. I apologize to the riders out there.
All right, well,
Ronnie, who was your second player? Yeah.
The second player was Tyler Beatty.
Well, that's who you're getting.
Yeah, now that's fine. So I like Damian. I'll move on from him. But Tyler Beatty, I think that in the end, he's got a three down roll, or not a three down roll, a third down roll in the NFL. That and that's most likely will slot. He's a tiny little guy, but he's pretty fundamentally sound across the board. I just wish that in the tape I had seen, he was able to power through tackles a little bit more. But you can't expect too much more from a guy that's 5'8", 195.
Yikes, that's pretty tiny.
I think he's got a surprising amount of power for his size. When I think about size to power ratio, when I watched him, I felt like he had good leg drive. He wasn't trucking anybody, but this is a guy that would get stopped at the second level potentially, and his feet didn't stop. He'd keep churning. You know, he's probably not going to be a player day one, but he's a guy you probably stash. And in the right situation, imagine like a Matt Breida type of a situation where he just found his way up the depth chart and he was suddenly functional for fantasy. You're probably not drafting a starter here, but you might get a guy who, well, you'll keep him on your roster because he keeps just ending up playing a few weeks a year, and he's just enough to stay on your roster.
So can I just say one thing? I made a list with all the players that were available on this sheet, and I had Jalen Tolbert and Damian Pierce as my top two guys, of course. And I was torn between Tyler and Damian simply because I looked at that list, and I thought, maybe there's something about Damian I don't know. He's pretty far down their running back list.
That is my fault. I am a terrible, terrible human being, and I forgot to take him off the list. Dave, you are up next. Please forgive me.
We're going to run up the board. We're going to go Keyonte Ingram.
Woo! Sorry. I got excited.
Yeah, I was excited. I definitely thought this was going to be the pick here. When Ronnie was going, Keyonte Ingram really improved his stock last year by losing some weight, and he looks really good. And his combine measures and burst numbers look really good. So,
definitely. So why I love his. Sorry,
go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say I love his vision. I think that he'd do one zone and gap schemes. This is a guy that's really good going to the play side, but if you're trying to get him into a one cut, I feel like he leaves a lot of yards on the field. He doesn't hit that real cutback lane, get his foot down and get back to the outside, so to speak. So, I mean, this is a guy that, hey, I actually like the way he plays. If he could land somewhere where he could get a role, imagine what like Tennessee does with the outside zone. You know, obviously Derrick Henry's the hoss there, but a scheme like that would benefit him a lot, and he could see playing time and be one of those preseason darlings that everybody gets excited about.
Very good. Matthew, final pick of the second, third round. Who are you going with?
So this is where I like to get a little bit different than most people's philosophies. You've heard it a lot. People throwing people, oh, they're going to go on your taxi squad right away. They're going to go on your taxi squad. So I'm actually going to go tight end Greg Dulcich out of UCLA. He was very productive in college. He's very, I mean, he's fairly athletic. He ran a 4.7 40, which for a tight end has him in the 73rd percentile. I haven't watched a ton of film on him. I don't know how he is at blocking and all the other stuff that tight ends have to do, but he's got decent size, 243 for his weight. So this is where I like to take tight ends. As we know, tight ends take time to develop anyway. I'm going to stash him on my taxi squad. I was even doing research earlier and looked back because I was interested where like Mark Andrews went in dynasty rookie drafts. And most drafts, he was either a fourth round pick or undrafted in rookie drafts. And I'm like, hey, if you could have gotten Mark Andrews, just stashed him, and now you have one of the top three tight ends in the NFL, you're doing pretty good. So we're kind of to the point where I like to do my dart throws at tight end. Pat, put them on my taxi squad and just see if they hit in 2 years. And if not, then you're dropping them anyway, whatever.
Don, would you be comfortable with him sitting on your taxi squad for 2 years?
In a tight end premium league, I would. But as we know, this is not. So I'm probably not going to do that. At least not at this point. I think I'd wait till the fourth to try and take dart throws at tight end in this format. But the player himself has been a riser through the draft process. And he's one of those kind of guys that profiles as more of the new age type tight end, where they're not asked to block a tremendous amount and can get out in the routes and be productive. So, I mean, he's got a shot. And in tight end premium formats, those are valuable.
Very good. All right. To kick off the top of the fourth round, we go to Jeff. Jeff, who are you going with?
Well, I got sniped earlier in this draft in round two when I was looking for Trey McBride, and I didn't get an opportunity to take Breece Hall, so I missed an Iowa State guy and I missed a tight end. So let's go ahead and rectify both those problems by taking Charlie Kohler out of Iowa State. You know, we've got him as one of the best of the rest dudes on the tight end list, but here's the thing. He's a focal point in the Cyclones offense. This is a guy that was effectively the 1A receiver in that offense. Are they a prolific passing game? No, not necessarily, but neither was Colorado State, and Trey McBride looked pretty dang good. Yeah, I look at this guy as a chain mover. I don't see him as being a George Kittle type, you know, game breaker. He's not going to go out there and give you 200 yards receiving in any given contest, but there's no reason why in 2 or 3 years we're not talking about him as being a tight end. You know, maybe he's a tight end two, fringy tight end one, where he can give you 5 for 50 in a given week, and that's pretty dang good week in PPR for a tight end a lot of times, especially if he can pepper in a touchdown. Reliable hands, and he's, you know, a whopping 6'6", 260. Hard to beat the size, the production profile, and, you know, I'll take a flyer on that all day.
All right. Next up on the board is Don.
Ah, there we go. All right, cool. So back into the fourth round here. It's time to look at your chances at quarterbacks. No one loves the quarterback crowd here, but Matt Corral at one point was at least a mid-first round grade for some people. In the fourth round, it's time to take those opportunities. Does he go in the first round of the real draft? Probably not at this point. Real draft is starting to look like he's going to be a second round guy, but second round guys still often get their chance. And if you're at the fourth round taking a quarterback who has the opportunity to get a real shot, this guy's got an excellent deep ball. He's athletic enough, and he's tough enough that he's a gamer. So maybe someday he gets his chance.
Interesting. Interesting. Dave, do you think that Matt Corral is not going to go in the first round of the draft?
Yeah, I don't think so. It really depends on what happens in the beginning of the draft. If the Panthers don't pick a quarterback, you could see a real slide. And if they pick a quarterback, then you could see it. You know, there's been a good QB classes recently, so we've seen 4 and 5 drafted. In the last 20 years, the average is 3. So I think Vegas has it at 2.5 is what the over-under is. And some people think it's going to be 2 or 3. And if it's 3 guys, I don't know if it's going to be Corral or if it's going to be Desmond Ridder would be the other guy. But it really depends. And that Detroit at 32 is a really interesting pick. really interesting pick with Corral.
All right. Up next is
Hey, JJ, can I pop a question in there for Don?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don, to take Matt Corral here, to take him over Dez Ritter and to put him in this group here, what team do you want to see him on?
So I actually think he could be a fit for Detroit. And I actually, if I was going to put some shekels down on a bet, I think I would have him going at that 32 pick simply because of the value of the fifth year option, that maybe if it's not Detroit, they try and make a swing a trade there to get somebody else who wants in to get that cost certainty for the fifth round, particularly for a developmental quarterback and maybe a guy who's not going to play immediately. But he's a big arm guy. We would probably profile him in more of a one read offense and a team that likes to attack down the field. I actually think the Saints would be a nice fit for him eventually, but I don't like them anywhere near the two selections they have in the first round. They would have to trade back up later to get that. And I just don't think that's probably going to happen considering what they did to get their two first round picks this year.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. With the third pick in the fourth round, Ronnie, where's your head at?
Yeah, I've been sniped twice in a row by Don here. I wanted Calvin Austin. I wanted Matt Corral. Thankfully, though, I had somebody that's still left on the board lined up to take after him, and that's Danny Gray out of SMU. 4.33, 40 is nice and all that, but I think more importantly, if you go and like watch his game tape, the guy's athleticism is pretty apparent, and it's not just the quickness. He looks really fluid when he's cutting in and out of breaks, and I think that a lot of people have him as potentially a wide receiver three, but he's got a lot of room to grow, and I'll let somebody else take over on this if they're familiar with him, but I love him. I think he's a great taxi stash and somebody that could end up being a pretty regular play in fantasy if everything works out.
Anybody want to step up and speak some Danny Gray love? And those were the crickets. All right.
I'll take the no-nos.
All right, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, he definitely is a guy that's been raising up on the boards. And, you know, SMU's put out some talent. And when it comes down to it, you're playing three and four receiver sets on a lot of these teams. And some teams are even doing two slot receivers. And that position is just becoming more and more valuable. And, you know, you see guys like Braxton Berrios got a little bit of coin after, you know, he – did some nice things last year in that offense. You've seen Hunter Renfrow, some of these guys that they don't have the huge athletic profiles, but they're really thriving in this catch and run system, these West Coast systems. So I think, you know, put him on a West Coast system and let him go.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Dave, stay on the mic and go ahead and take pick number four.
I'll take Desmond Ritter. We'll go with the quarterback. I think he potentially could be a first round guy. You know, he's winning the off season right now when it comes down to the interview process. And a lot of people really like his maturity and all those things. And I don't necessarily know if he's can go in and start day one, but kind of the same conversation. If he ends up in Seattle, I think he can beat Drew Lock. I think if he goes to the Lions, I think it's a pretty good spot. And he's another guy with some rushing upside, and I'll take him in the fourth.
Jeff, we keep saying about whoever goes to Seattle is going to beat Drew Lock. At what point are we like, which quarterback on this list will not beat Drew Lock?
Well, I think the three guys that are going to beat him were already drafted, right? Or four guys. Okay. We have four of them off the board now, or three. We're four. We have all four. All of the quarterbacks that are drafted, Ritter was the last one that would beat Drew Lock head to head in a quarterback competition. Carson Strong, I feel like, has better arm talent than Drew Lock. But he's not ready. He's far from a finished product. And that's kind of where now we've hit the point with the quarterbacks. None of these guys should probably be drafted. Carson Strong's probably on the fringe. You know, maybe he lands in a place like, I don't know, Pittsburgh, where it's like Trubisky could fizzle out and maybe he could step up and beat a guy like Mason Rudolph to the number one job for a year or two. But you're really speculating quite a bit at that point.
Fair enough. All right, Matthew, you are up next.
All right. Well, my pick here would have been Charlie Kohler because I liked him and I thought he was gonna fall a little bit, but that's fine. I got another tight end I like, Jelani Woods. I was talking about Greg Dulcich being athletic. Jelani Woods is an athletic freak. Now, will that translate to the NFL? We'll wait and see. Where everyone's an athletic freak in the NFL. but he ran a 4.6 140. He's 94th percentile on his speed score. He's 95th percentile on his burst score. Like, basically, he's very similar to Albert O coming out, where Albert O was an athletic freak. And guess what? I was taking Albert O in almost every fourth round I had back then, and that is paying dividends now. Whether he actually becomes a tight end or not, you're able to sell him for basically low-end tight end one value. People think he's going to be a top 12 tight end, so you're able to sell him for that value. And so I think Jelani Woods could very much be on that same track in his NFL career.
Now, Don, I know you don't like drafting tight ends, especially in non-tight end premium leagues. Let somebody else take care of that for you. What are your thoughts about Jelani Woods?
He's a monster. Dude's huge, 6'7", really talented an athletic player, got a bit of a basketball background. It'll be interesting to see what can develop him. The Colts took a relatively similar player and now might, you know, we've been saying this for years, but they might actually get something out of him. And that's Ricky Seals-Jones, I believe. So we'll see what happens.
Mo Alley Cox?
Wrong one. Darn hyphenated names get me every time. So here we are.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and I'm a teacher, so yay. but yeah, I really like the kid. I like the potential here. He's another one who's absolutely nailed the draft process. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Thanks, Don. Jeff, you are up next with number 6.
Hoy. Well, we're kind of getting down to it here. And, you know, I keep wanting to take a running back. I really do. But I just don't love any of them enough to pull the trigger and do it. So I'm just going to go speculation here. I'm going to go, give me Romeo Doubs. You know, it's a guy who looked good Senior Bowl week. You know, put up a couple thousand-yard seasons, 6'2", 200 pounds. Like, you know, truthfully, he probably profiles as an NFL backup. I mean, if we're kind of calling it what it is. But in today's day and age where teams can have 2 and 3, you know, 90 to 100 target guys, I mean, maybe he's a guy that can help you out a couple weeks out of the year. Maybe he gets the occasional, you know, 5 or 6 target game, and he gets you a couple points on a bye week. He's going on my taxi squad, but speculative pick here. Yeah, we'll play some upside and hope for the best.
Ronnie, as somebody who's always putting up their own Doubs, what do you think about Romeo Doubs?
He can't break out of tight coverage. And I think that if he goes to an offense where they find like the perfect role for him, he might be somebody that you could probably slot in here and there as a flex play at best. But like Jeff said, I mean, he's a taxi squad guy. You wait and see. We're in round 4. But I honestly, I don't love him.
Well, especially at this point of a draft, depending on the size of your rosters, you might not be keeping a lot of these guys past right. Training camp. These are guys who you're just going to wait and see if anything happens. And if nothing happens, they're off your roster and you're moving on during cutdowns. Yeah. Don, where are you going with 4.7?
Back to the wide receivers. Going to probably to Texas Tech here. Eric Uzkunma, 6'1", 6'3", depending on which outlet you're looking at. Surprising how much variation there was. I think the 6'3 number was right out of the Texas Tech field guide, but there you go. The important thing about this player is that at 6'1", he had excellent agility numbers. With an unsettled quarterback situation at Texas Tech, with what amounts to a carousel of guys in and out, he was still productive, could still run effective routes, and is enough of a technician that even with all that uncertainty, was able to get himself to about 50 catches. So that's pretty good, really, when you consider what they went through at Texas Tech and their transitions. So he gets in the right scheme. He might actually blow up and be all right.
Dave, what are we looking at with Eric?
Yeah, again, one of these guys, you hope that he can get some time on the field early. This is going to be a guy that's going to be a special teamer, backup. You know, he's just going to have to find his way, and hopefully, you know, he gets enough capital and finds himself on a short depth chart.
This is the tough part of the draft. Ronnie, I am not jealous of you having to pick at this spot, but you're up.
All right, I have a question. Do I get to do that one final pick there at the end? Because
you do.
Oh, yes. All right, I got a random player for that one. But this one for me, I'm going Cade Otton. I think there's been he's kind of gone up and down with people's feelings from what I've listened to on podcasts, but in the end, he catches balls, he gets open, and he's got some room to work in his blocking, but he's not a bad blocker, and he comes from Washington. There's a million tight ends that have come from Washington. He's got a good history there. If I pull up my notes on him, I think I pretty much just covered the basics there. If anyone else wants to jump in on Cade, I like him. I like him just about as much as these other guys, except for our Virginia boy that's, you know, a future freak. But Cade's my guy here.
Anybody want to speak of Cade Otton, a name that sounds like it's somebody misspelled it? All right, let's move on. Dave, you are up next with pick number 9.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a dart throw at the tight end, Daniel Bellinger. You know, just heard a little bit about him on Move the Sticks today, and really just, you know, tight end is a position that you want to see the production in college, and there's just not a lot of tight ends that actually have any production because of all these offenses are just, they don't know how to use tight ends, or they really don't want to when they have all these other weapons at their disposal. But everything about his profile screams upside, and in a class where there really is such a variety of opinions on tight ends, he could be the second or third one off the board. So give me Daniel Bellinger.
Man, Jeff, you know, I'm looking at the board right now, and I'm seeing Jalen Windemeyer at tight end. Now, talking about Devy, if you're in a Devy in a tight end premium league, that dude was flying off draft charts for the past 2 years. Why is he still sitting here?
I mean, he tested pretty poorly at the combine. He tested pretty poorly at the A&M pro day, and his film doesn't look great. Like, he just kind of looks like a guy that's going through the motions a little bit. And I feel like the hype on him coming into the season was, you know, it was high. I think a lot of people were pretty sweet on him, ready for him to come into the league, and he really fell on his face. You know, there could still be some talent there, but he strikes me as a guy who's topped out. We've seen his best football, and that's probably about it. A lot of these other guys that are left, you know, even like the Isaiah Likely's and the Jeremy Ruckerts, they probably haven't hit their ceiling yet. I don't know that they're going to be rosterable players, but if I'm looking at, you know, Weidermeyer versus these other guys, I don't see a guy that has a lot of room left to grow. And that's a problem for me, even in the fourth round.
Understood. Matthew, you are up at number 10.
Yeah, Weidermeyer ran a 5.07 40. So that's where we're at with that. So
is that like Tom Brady speed or like Peyton Manning speed?
I don't know. Tom Brady might have been faster. Hold on.
Dude, that's tackle town.
It is definitely tackle town.
And not even recent tackles.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I'm trying to see.
Yeah, Tom I knew Brady, the workouts were bad.
So he's faster than Tom. He can chase down Tom Brady.
Let's just say Jordan Davis was a 4.78.
There we go.
He had 125 pounds.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but our comp was in the
second
Davis
percentile of 40s. Like, it was just
about. And that's not fair. That's not fair to compare him to Jordan Davis either, by the way. Our comp for him in the draft guide is the Incredible Hulk. That's the only way to rationalize his size, speed, strength. So. But yeah, no, Weidermeyer's a guy that probably shouldn't be drafted or rostered at this point.
All right, Matthew, who are you taking?
Okay, I'm actually torn here. I want to be a homer, and I got to talk about him a little bit on last week's pod with Sincere McCormick, but I think what I'm actually going to go with here, since I did get to talk about him last week, I'm going to bring up another running back that I actually don't hate this week. And if you would have asked people a couple years ago, he might have been further up, speaking of like Debbie Darlings and stuff like that. But Max Borgi, who out of Washington State, and talk about receiving back, this is a kid that caught 86 balls 1 year as a running back. He also ran for 817 yards that year. So he's kind of the definition of dual threat. Now, if he's good enough at it to actually produce at the NFL level doing it is a different story, but the kid's kind of got skills. He got hurt his junior year, and that kind of sent him into a downward spiral of off people's draft boards. So I think he's kind of an under the radar guy right now that could find a role in the NFL.
Well, I hope he does. He was somebody who had briefly appeared and disappeared from some of my Debbie rosters. But I would love to see him get a shot. Jeff, pick number 11. Penultimate pick.
You know, there's probably better players on the board than the guy I'm going to take. But I got to go with my man, Bo Melton. We're going wide receiver again. And Bo's getting a little bit of love as a sleeper here and there. And I'm going to level with you. I'm not taking him because of what I saw in film. I thought, you know, he was better in 20 than 21. You know, this guy's probably not going to beat press. None of these wide receivers are. You know, Ronnie kind of alluded to that earlier. All these guys are going to struggle with press and some of the NFL coverage. But his dad actually coached me in peewee football back when I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And so given I know the family a little bit, I'm cheering for Bo and putting him on my squad, even if only for sentimental reasons. So give me some Bo Melton.
No better reason to pick than a relation to the family. I love that. A little personal connection. Don, you get to finish off this draft.
Well, I think it's likely that I just wanted to draft a Chanticleer. So I'll take Isaiah Likely here. I'm impressed that I wasn't booed off the feed. But hear me out. Everyone in the building absolutely knew where that football was going. It was right to Likely, and nobody could do anything about it. Even if it is small school in a absolutely funk offense. I mean, we're talking about spread option football here, which is brand new. They actually maybe the Chanticleers may actually be generating a quarterback here that we'll be talking about in a year or two as far as draft capital. It's a program on the rise. And a guy who's really probably more of an H-back than a tight end, but is could possibly find a niche in the right system. And tight ends who lean past catch heavy, you know, maybe. Who knows? Back end of the fourth round, why not?
Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. Are you more of a fan of the Chanticleers from Chaucer or maybe James Lowell, the first snowfall? Neither?
Yes.
That's what you get for studying English. A lot of useless information. Speaking of useless information, Ronnie was just got off the phone with his last pick. He was getting some inside information. Who are you going with, Ronnie? With
the bonus pick of the round. So that was Russell Wilson's old high school coach. And my old friend from back at high school, he's given us a little story for something where I'm going to throw up later. But all right. So I got a guy. I don't even think he's in our draft guide. It's a Quandre White. Started off in community college, transferred over to South Carolina last year, played on special teams, played on defense, played on offense. He is a freak athlete with the ball in his hands. Not like a Jordan Davis level freak, but this dude is not good at running routes. He's still learning that. He isn't really good at seeing the field with the ball in his hands, and he's not going to play defense in the NFL. However, when he has the ball in his hands, he is so creative, and he is so much fun to watch on the limited snaps that he was able to do things at South Carolina. I remember him from the Tennessee game making a couple plays. And he's the type of guy that, like, if he was able to go to a San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and be nurtured for a couple years, he could turn into a pretty useful weapon for a creative NFL offense and coach. And I hope that's what happens. If he goes to Pete Carroll, for example, you can just take him off your draft board.
Did I spell that right? Zaquandre White?
You did. It's phonetic. You did it perfectly.
Very good. And he's a wide receiver?
He's a running back wide receiver. Weapon. He's like Debo.
He's an OW. Offensive weapon.
Yeah.
Offensive weapon. Well, Debo said that he does not want to be a running back anymore. So
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how those touches go.
It will be.
Maybe it'll be Zaquandre.
I gotta say, I didn't realize how likely it was gonna be that we were gonna see so many tight ends go.
I'm confused why nobody here wanted to chime in.
Hold on. Time out. Jeff, boo. Shame. I know exactly what you did. And It's appreciated.
I had so many jokes lined up. I had a ton of them when Don made the pick. I was just biting my lip and my tongue and like pinching my leg, trying not to spout them out.
Well, I'm a purveyor of dad jokes, being the oldest of this crew and with kids, probably some of your ages. Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate all good father humor. Anybody else want to, anybody we missed who we want to talk about? I will say I was a little surprised in reading Matt Waldman's RSP that he had Skylar Thompson as his number one QB.
Clickbait.
Always interesting. I mean, you know, Waldman has had his misses, but his process is pretty solid. He details it. He goes into a lot of detail. So that's interesting. Just a name to see if he can make any splashes. I don't know.
I got one guy that I was surprised didn't go, and it's Kevin Harris out of South Carolina.
Yeah, right?
I would have taken him, but I wanted to get fun with Saquandre. He's great. I mean, he reminds me a little bit about like Thomas Rawls back in the Seattle days with the way he just like puts his head into defenders. He needs to learn how to not do that and be a little more intelligent with the way he creates contact. But he's pretty talented. He could be a guy if he goes in the right landing spot that if we redid this draft in 2 months, he might be going in the second round.
I like the first line of our in the draft guide. Kevin Harris is a full grown man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. He's a big dude.
Yeah. And Kevin Harris, in all honesty, is higher on my ranks than, you know, Daniel Bellinger. And, you know, I left him on the board. He's someone that, yeah, he's a power back. And last year, coming off of back surgery, had a down year, and he's off some, you know, some boards because of that. But, you know, Lance Zierlein was talking about it, and he said, you can't ignore the 2020 tape, and he looks good, and he looks good, and he's throwing people around, you know, these SEC defenders, and they know it's coming, and they can't stop him. And so he's fun. And funny you said Thomas Rawls, because they gave the Chris Carson comp to him.
Well, I was going to say he's a Pete Carroll running back. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see Seattle draft him.
Yep.
I'm looking at the guide right now. I'm looking at Carlos Hyde as a similar player. We're not doing traditional player comps, but we've got Carlos Hyde in there. And, you know, what I wonder is, you know, when I watch Kevin Harris, I'm kind of like, his body level seems to change with different runs. It seems like he doesn't always get that little bit of forward lean. He likes to get a little upright sometimes. And you can tell he thinks about it because it's like it changes mid-game. And with different runs. So that might be something where I want him thinking less and just running more. And that could be where a lot of that production evaporated to, where maybe he was thinking more than just doing.
Was that on his 2021 film that I haven't watched film on him, so I don't really know, but, or was that before the back surgery?
I'll be honest with you. I don't remember. I just watched 3 games of each year. And when I try to go into 3 games in a season, I can't remember what game exactly he was bobbing up and down and doing different things.
Cause that's really not surprising to me if it was in 2021 that he's coming off that back surgery and he's even thinking about it mid game, not one. I don't know his injury off the top of my head exactly what it was, but not wanting to re-injure his back again.
I think that would be a great topic to cover on Next Man Up, because I know like Trey Sermon had a back injury in college and I forget what it was called, but whatever that particular back injury was, there was a 0% hit rate among all of the running backs who had that that particular back injury. And there was like a whole like medical journal written about it. And that's why I avoided Trey Sermon last year. So I wonder if there's anything there in terms of back injury correlation here with Kevin Harris.
Jeff, when you're talking about the way he jumps up and down, are you alluding to how like when he's in space, he runs very upright? But then he like dives into contact.
I mean, more like he's coming through the second level a little too upright sometimes.
Yeah.
And then another run, he'll be coming through the second level, kind of leaned forward, getting behind his pads more with or without contact. I noticed that the pad level would change on different runs. And you don't see that very often with running backs. You know, you get a wide open hole. Usually guys are a bit more upright anyway, because they're getting ahead of steam. And then some guys, the big power dudes, they just play behind their pads anyway, and they're just looking to hammer somebody. But I thought it was interesting that he was sometimes upright coming through that space, sometimes a little more down low, and that pad level would change. And again, it just seemed really bizarre to me.
It could be that he just never really knew what type of blocking he was going to get at South Carolina and, you know, decided sure. beforehand whether he was going to get hit within 2 yards. I don't know. I'm theorizing.
All I'm seeing is it says minor procedure for him. So that could mean a thousand different things. So who knows?
Got it.
All right, gentlemen, anybody else we wanted to speak about? All right, well, it's time for tags where we let everybody know where they can find us and any final thoughts. Ronnie, I'll let you kick off.
It's right there in the video. Spelled it out. It's at Ronnie A. Evans on Twitter. That's all you need.
All you need. Dave.
At Dynasty Dorks. Dynasty Dorks is one word.
Any final thoughts, buddy?
No, this was great. It's always fun to see how the draft actually plays out. When you do your rankings, when you're chit-chatting on Twitter and all that, everybody's like, oh, well, that guy's a top 20 guy. I'm like, well, let me see your list. All right, well, find 20 guys better than that guy. So it's always fun to see this and, you know, to go through these activities because this is how your real drafts are going to play out.
It's like ranking wide receivers. There's 47 top 24 wide receivers every year.
Absolutely.
Matthew, you are up.
You know, it's funny you threw out that number because I've started ranking players based on like how many fantasy points and trying to compare between positions. And actually that's around the number of wide receivers that'll score more than 150 fantasy points per year, when really only like 28 or 29 running backs will do that every year. So that was just kind of funny. But anyway, you can find me at Fantasy Ferret on Twitter. I'm a member of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. We'll be talking to you, sounds like, next week on the Rider Dynasty Podcast about these incoming rookies and some injuries, because there's some big ones to some top rookies incoming.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Don.
Guys, this is always fun. Hope springs eternal this time of year. Take the time to invest in looking through the players, get to know what you're going to do with your draft, and come in with a plan. Because when you just try to wing it, you overlook things, you overlook players that you could use. So please invest the time so that you make good decisions.
Amen. Finally, Jeff.
Hey, you know, I love a mock draft, but what's great about this mock is that we could do it again in 8 days, 9 days from now, and it's going to be 100% different. And that's what's great about it, because really, you know, the landing spots, the excitement, the hype is going to set in. You know, we're going to be doing drafts here in just a few weeks. And I mean, it's exciting. This is the most exciting time of the year. Excuse me. I got so excited. I got choked up. I got so excited. The thing you've got to do, though, is you're going to have to hop on the website, go to grandrates.com, create an account, go ahead and pick up a draft. Especially if you're in, you know, blended leagues with offense and defense, 145 pages. $15. It's the best investment you're going to make. We're a few updates also that I'm planning out for right after the draft. So we'll have some ranking shuffles and we'll have a few more tidbits based on some landing spots to make this thing as useful as really possible as you walk into your draft room.
And that's what we want. All the information at your fingertips. $15. It's what you need. Thank you to Don, Dave, Matthew, Ronnie, and Jeff for joining me tonight. You can find me on Twitter at JJ Wenner. Tune in tomorrow for Getting Defensive with Brandon, Jeff, and yours truly, where we discuss IDP landing spots for defensive rookies. Next week, we'll be back with the Next Man Up, doing a little bit of an injury preview of the draft. And from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and remember, never say anything to cut a meeting short or make a bow.
Oh, you missed the line. The
landing. But you know what? Boat drinks, my friends. Boat drinks.